Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sunny, and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience, awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked Rachel to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Can you unmute, Rachel? Can't unmute?
Okay, I'm Rachel, alcoholic. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Today, we will hear a talk on steps 6 and 7. We're entirely ready to have God remove defects of character and humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, from Edwina B. from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Come on in.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. And if you're somewhere else, like my friend Braca says, if you're on the moon, I don't know what time it is or whatever like that. I'm Edwina. I am a grateful alcoholic. And I am currently residing in Chapel Hill. I have two online groups, Living the Program and the Set Aside Thursday meeting. And I really enjoy both of those groups a lot. And, you know, as Liz, I think, said on Friday, this is not my thing to do a talk like this. But when I come into the mindset of that it's love and service, then it's like, okay, I just do the best with what I've got. And that's all there is to it. But what I'd like to start off with is a usefulness prayer. And it says, God, help me to find balance between my character defects and me and the principles of our program, so as to be useful to myself, all others, and you, the God of my understanding. And that really, I came across that the other day, and I just love that prayer a lot. It's just really about, to me, it's about, you know, staying sober and doing love and service, and everyone has different services to do. So anyway, step 6 and 7, you know, I've got to say this. I always say this story about myself. And if you hear buzzing for a minute, they're, of course, the landscapers are around the house, you know, naturally for a minute. Anyway, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and I was just 30. My sobriety date is May 20th, 1984. And I had two little teeny little toddlers. And so my step work that I did a lot with my sponsor, talking to my sponsor, was how we read it, was really from the 12 and 12. I got sober on the North Shore of Long Island. And back in the 80s, then I'd say most of the 98% of the step work was done from the 12 and 12. We read the big book, sure. But anyway, so my sponsor had me reading the 12, you know, we'd pick a step and read it. You know, I'd read it at home. She'd read it at her house. And then we would have a telephone conversation about it. So she gets to step 6 and she said, you know, what did you think? And I said, I skipped over it. And she said, why would you do that? And I said, well, it was for the men. It says it separates the men from the boys. Now I was 3 months sober. But I always share that because it makes me laugh at myself. And because I took things so literally. And she said to me in her sweet, she was like grandmother type. And she said, sweetie, that's just a saying. Okay. You know? And so sure enough, I went back and I read it and I went, oh, okay. And I want to say also that to me, this is about progress, not perfection. And it's about, there was an old timer in Florida when I moved later to Florida at 3 years sober, and she would pound the table and she'd go practice, practice, practice. And her name was Old Time Millie. And she was a great old grand old timer, but I'd be like, okay, practice, practice, practice. But that's really what it is. It's just doing the best with what I got. And, you know, and the next day get up and do it again and do it again. So to me, you know, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character is a lot of, takes a lot of courage, I think. I've said this often enough to me that there, Alcoholics Anonymous is not for everybody. It takes a lot of courage to go through the steps and take a good look at oneself, or at least it did for me. And to keep doing it. But as my sponsor said back in the day when I was getting sober, she used to say, I don't care about their side of the street. I care about your side of the street. And keep a nose on your own face, you know, and kind of all those kind of sayings. But they really helped me with, instead of like looking out there, because I was always pointing the finger at, you know, everybody else and he, she, they. And she said, I don't care about them. I care about your side of the street. And that really carried through with all my steps. So for me, that to be entirely ready, I don't know if I was ever, I know that when I had a year sober, I remember we were at a step meeting. It was a 12 and 12, so it was a step meeting. It was a step six step meeting, as a matter of fact. And there was a few of my, you know, getting sober buddies that someone had the same time as me. And I just knew after the meeting, I went up to my friend Chris and I said, you know, I just feel like I know I'm so proud I haven't picked up a drink, but I don't feel like I've changed. And he said, Edwina, we're not supposed to get it all at once. You know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And I'm from the slow-mo group. I did not get, I heard someone the other day, and God bless her, she got sober and she got all the steps. And whoa, for me, first of all, I was so busy taking care of two little ones and then getting out and getting a job that I, you know, I didn't have a lot of time. But anyway, having said that, so that helped out a lot when I was a year sober and I went, okay, I haven't picked up a drink, but I really had the feeling, and I don't know if any of you have had this feeling, but I really had the feeling that I wanted to change. I wanted to stop reacting to the way I reacted to the world. And especially when you took the booze away, it was a loud, you know, rough world out there, you know, to me. I wanted to wear a sign. Please be nice to me. I'm a recovering alcoholic. It was hard, you know, that living with two children, you know, practicing all, you know, being the best I could be there. You know, my family relationships, just getting along with people in the world just seemed to be a very big task. And I just wanted to change the way I was reacting. I was also going through an incredibly, it was just a very hard, nasty divorce. And so I had all the, you know, the legal issues and the, you know, just a lot of stuff going on, like a lot of us do. So my sponsor had me start doing little teeny things to change the way I would react to the world. And I think that really helped out a lot. Another person that helped out tremendously, and someone mentioned her before the meeting, was Liz Bailey. Liz Bailey, on the North Shore of Long Island, where I got sober in Glen Cove, Locust Valley, all that. I was probably a week sober, and this lady comes walking in with these two big, huge guys. One of them, I always remember his name because I said, "That isn't that a girl's name?" His name was Laverne. And they were always driving her around to the different meetings. And, you know, I was a basket case. I'll say that, you know, I cried a lot and I was overwhelmed a lot, but she taught me a mantra that has stayed with me through today. And in every situation it works. And she said, because I raised my hand at a meeting and I said at the six step meeting, and I said, "Are you talking a whole day? You know, we have to practice this." And she turned to me and she said, "You don't have to do it a day at a time." She said, "You can do it an hour at a time. You could do it 10 minutes at a time. You could do it one heartbeat at a time." That mantra has done so well for me in every kind of situation, be it whether it was going to the dentist or whether it was having another medical appointment or going through something legally or going through something emotionally or financially, every which way, that mantra has always worked for me. I know she always said she was famous for saying, "Without you, there is no me," but this woman just, she was at, and I was like, "What is this woman? Is she following me?" Because she was a lot of my meetings. Now I appreciate that. In fact, when I ran into her years ago, and I had seen her a couple times since, we had her in Jupiter, Florida, when she was quite elderly with her caretaker to do a meeting. But this was at the North Carolina State Convention. And I went up to her after she spoke. I wanted to thank her. I said, "I don't know if you remember me, but I want to thank you so much for all the love and encouragement." Because I would walk into a meeting and I would instantly feel better because she would sit next to me or near me. And I just felt better. You know, I just felt that love, that support. And I went up to her and I thanked her and I said, thank you so much. And this is about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, 12 years ago, probably more. And she stood back and looked at me and she goes, oh, I remember you, honey child. You used to cry all the time. And I just remember that so well. And gave her, you know, we gave each other a big hug and all that. But, you know, I was so lucky to have these giants in emotional sobriety. And that's to me what it is. Step 6 and 7 is about emotional sobriety and spiritual sobriety. It's about growing more mature and handling things life on life's terms. And I don't know about you all, but I love it when I handle a situation and I have a modicum of dignity and grace while I go through it. And I go, wow, isn't that wonderful that I don't react the way I used to? I don't ever want, you know, my friend Arnie used to say this, I don't want to ever be the way I was. And as long as I keep coming here, I never have to be the way I was. And he didn't mean, and he was from Boston, by the way, but retired in Florida. And he didn't mean before he got sober. He meant it could have been the week before, the year before, whatever. He just, and I firmly believe with these two steps, and humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. I fully believe with these two steps that the path of my behavior gets narrower and narrower and narrower. In other words, if I know better, I have to do better. What I got away with years ago, I can't get away with today. What I got away with a year or got away with, what I exhibited a year ago, I can't do today. I either grow towards a drink or away from a drink. And that's the way I look at it. Now, there have been times in my sobriety that, you know, emotional and spiritual sobriety were not really very evident. And I think those are those times, and it talks about it in step 6 and 7, that the pain that we go through can be used to have growth, and we can grow as human beings through the pain. And I think that is so important. You know, the 6-step prayer of God, help me become willing to let go of all the things to which I still cling. Help me to be ready to let you remove all of these defects, that your will and purpose may take their place. Amen. And that to me is, and I, you know, these are ideals to grow through. I know that the first step is the only one I have to do 100%. The other ones are ideals to grow through. What I love about step 7 is about the humility. And I have to tell a story of one of the, and I get emotional when I talk about him, because he just passed away a couple of years ago. Skip was my like mentor, AA father. We were so close. And his wife, Myrna, used to work. When he got sober in 1962, and she went to go work at General Services, and she went to work as Lois's secretary or assistant. I'm not sure which it was, but she stayed there for quite a few years. And she came home one day, and they were living in Connecticut at the time. And she said, Skip, what do you think of the differences between defects of character and shortcomings? And Skip said he had just been on this at the step meeting where they parse every single word and, you know, look into it real seriously, what it means. And he went on this long diatribe of what the difference between shortcomings and defects of character. And then he finally paused and he looked at Myrna and he said, well, why do you ask? And she said, well, I was talking to Bill, meaning Bill Wilson, because he would be in Lois's office. And she said, I was talking to Bill today, and he said that they meant the same thing. He just didn't want to repeat the same phrase. And Skip goes, great idea. And I love that story. I love that story that, you know, we can get so serious about every single phrase and word. And, you know, as an old timer said to me, my first 6 months of sobriety, he said, take your program seriously and don't take yourself so serious. And those are my best days. I don't know about anybody else, but my best days in sobriety are when I do something dorky or stupid and I laugh at myself. I really, most of the time, don't take myself too seriously. A lot of times I don't take a lot of other people too seriously either, because it helps to laugh, you know, it's like lighten up, folks. And this is what was huge for me, was in step 6 and 7 that I did start to lighten up. I did start to behave better. I started to, you know, and I continue to. I think also the great thing about long-term sobriety is you kind of grow up, you know, you get the wisdom. I was talking to somebody the other day, and the wisdom of the long path in sobriety, of having those wonderful, joyous things happen in sobriety, and those hard, wonderful, you know, hard losses in sobriety, you know, just life happening on and dealing with life on life's terms. And that's what step six and seven, if this makes any sense, really has the whole crux is dealing with life on life's terms. It's letting go of all the anger and resentment and that huge rock that we carry around our neck, you know, of like old attitudes and old way of doing things. It stopped, you know, what worked before I got sober. I don't know if anyone experiences what worked before I got sober, stop working more and more the longer I got sober. And I had to replace anger and resentment with other things. And I mean, when they told me I had to make amends, I'll never forget when my sponsor said I had to make amends to my ex-husband, I thought the poor woman who was almost 80 years old was probably senile. What do you mean I have to make? And she said, I don't care about his side of the street. I care about your side of the street. And so that's what really step 6 and 7 is such a keystone to emotional and spiritual sobriety, that I know that I'm doing really well when I can not only I can laugh at myself, but when I know I screw up during the day and for just me, and I can make on the spot amends to somebody. Now, on the spot, you know, this is just a defect of character I had, I'll say I'm sorry, or make, you know, I'll say I was wrong next year, you know, not this year. And it got shorter and shorter and shorter, that I love to be able to own up to my own behavior right on the spot, that I know, because that clears the day, doesn't it? And for me, it has been years since I have put my head down the pillow. I haven't had a perfect day. I think one day in June of 87, I had a perfect day. But it has been years, years since I've put my head down the pillow at night and I haven't had a clear conscience. And I don't know about any of you, but to me, having a clear conscience is priceless. And this is what really hooks into step 6 and 7, because when I behave badly, I don't know about anybody of you, but I feel horrible about myself, and I'll use it to whip myself up into a, you know, like, what am I? So the better I behave, and I'll say this, that I had a lot of practice in sobriety with my father was a widower, and he got remarried. He has since passed away from Alzheimer's, but he got remarried to someone that I had to constantly, there was a high road and a low road of behavior, and I wanted to pick the low road. I wanted to. And I had to pick the higher road, because the spiritual and emotional consequences, the longer I'm sober, become more dire. And that's really how I say it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love sometimes to just hit below the belt, and I couldn't. And there are many times that I remember calling my sponsor in Florida, and I would be in tears going, I can't do it. She goes, yes, you can. Yes, you can. and I just would behave the best I could. But my head would go down the pillow at night, and I had a clear conscience. And I don't know about any of you, but that to me is such a gift. And I'm going to close in a few minutes, but you know, these are things that I'm just going to be working on to the, you know, till I pass away. You know, that I like to say that I've become much more the person I want to be. I know there's more to grow and more to improve, but I'll never forget in the very beginning or early sobriety, first or second year, my therapist, I saw it outside sale help. She goes, I want you to look in the mirror and tell yourself you love yourself. I love you to yourself. And I thought, oh my God. And I couldn't do it, you know, for a long time. And now I could do that, that I am comfortable in my own skin, but it's all because of the behavior has changed. It, you know, being sober consecutively has really, I don't know about anybody else, but as Ruth C. told me, who was my therapist years and years ago, and she was honored by the Long Island Council, and she was a recovering alcoholic. She said the opposite of alcoholism is, you know, in sobriety, it's self-esteem. This will boost your self-esteem. The better you behave, the better it is. So with that, I'd like to thank you all and have a great day.